Today Shir's Masechta Shabbos, Daf Mem Dalad. We will begin on Daf Mem Dalad Amud Aleph at the Mishnah, five lines from the top of the Amud, Metatlan Ner Chodesh. As we have been discussing, we've been discussing the halachas of Muksa. The Rishonim give many reasons why Muksa is Asur on Shabbos. The Rambam in Perek Chaf Dalad of Hilchas Shabbos, Halach Yud Beis, says the reason muksa is also because the Torah says leman yinuach. The purpose of Shabbos is that it should be a day of rest. And says the Rambam, if we're going to spend the entire Shabbos moving objects back and forth, where will be our rest? The Raiva there says the reason for muksa is that we may come to carry, if we're going to be allowed to carry all sorts of objects on Shabbos, we may come to carry from one rishus to another rishus, which as we began our Masecht, of course, is a very serious Isra on Shabbos. The Miri says that the Makar for Muksa is a Gemara that we're going to learn in tomorrow, Shia, Daf Mem Hei. That just like we find the concept that the Atzei Sukkah are Huksul and Mitzvason, so too that Chazal say all situations where you set aside something, the halacha is that it becomes muksa. Rashi in Masech Debeya, Daf Dalar on Mebeis, Devarei Maskel, Rabbi LaTamei, seems to learn that it could be that muksa is a deraisa, because the pasuk says, "V'chinu asher yaviu," and everything that you're going to use on Shabbos have to be prepared from before Shabbos. It's a very difficult Rashi because it's quite clear from almost all the Gemaras that we're going to learn that Muksa is only a Derabbanan. So the Shita Mekubetzes there, Masech Debeya, says that what Rashi means, it's only regarding Midat Achila, regarding something we're going to eat. It's not such a wide application. Degle Tal also tells us that when we think of Muksa, we have to think of Muksa in two ways. One is, we have to think of muksa as something that you're not allowed to use. You're not allowed to use muksa on Shabbos. And the other way we're supposed to think of muksa is if it's something that you're allowed to touch. And again, we're going to speak about in our shiurim if the isser of muksa applies to even touching muksa. So teaches us the Mishnah Metatlan Ner Chodesh, a candle that was never, a lamp that was never used, so it's perfectly fine. It's a kli shemalach del iser, and the halacha is it may be moved on Shabbos. Avala yoshin, but an old candle, dera halacha, a candle that was already lit, it's a muksa machm smiyas, and the chiddush is that you're not allowed to move it, because now we're learning a new type of muksa, and that is muksa machmas iser. So again, according to this Mishnah, Posh Pshat, Metatlan Ner Chodesh, we're allowed to move a new lamp. There's no iser at all. It's not mias. It was never used previously. It's not muksa machmas iser. It wasn't lit the Shabbos. And therefore, it's not muksa. And if it's not muksa, I'm allowed to move it. Tosfos, however, holds that it's a kli shemach delisser. And a kli shemach delisser may only be moved letzarech gufa mekaymai. So according to Tosfos, this lamp may not be moved, even though it's a new lamp that was, and it's not muksa machmas mias, and even though it wasn't lit this Shabbos. Yoshon is a new reason. As I said, it's a lamp that was previously used. And the reason you're not allowed to move it is because it's muksa machmas mias. And as the Pnei Yeshua explains, since it's something that's not clean, it's oily, it's dirty, so people don't use it. The only time you'll use it is only to use it as a lamp. So even though this Shabbos he didn't actually use it for a lamp, it's not a keli. It has no use. It's like eitzim vavonim. And the halacha is that eitzim vavonim a muksa machmas iser, and something which is muksa machmas iser. And again, we have to distinguish very carefully. There are two types of muksa that the wording, the title, are similar, but they are very not the same. One is muksa machmas iser. Eitz and vavonim, stones and pieces of plain wood, have no use on Shabbos. They're not a keli. Something which is not a keli, which is muksa machmas iser, the halacha is you're not allowed to move under any circumstances. Something which, however, is a keli shemlachta l'iser, you're allowed to move l'tzayruch gufa mekayma. So now our Gemara is saying that the way these mefarshim explain, the muksa machmas mias is treated like something which is muksa machmas iser, and the halacha's muksa machmas iser may not be moved even l'tzarech gufay umekaymai. And that's the opinion of the Ramban as well. The Rashba holds the muksa machmas mias is still a keli, and since it's a keli, it's a lamp, it may be moved l'tzarech gufay umekaymai. And that's the machlokes rishon. Rav Shimon Omer, Rav Shimon disagrees, and he holds kol haneres metatlon loyson. You may move any keli, any lamp on Shabbos. Doesn't make a difference if it's new or old. Obviously, Rav Shimon doesn't subscribe to the concept of muksa machmas mias. Chutz mehaner hadoyel b'Shabbos. The only candle that you're not allowed to move, according to him, is a ner that's actually burning on Shabbos. Why does Rav Shimon agree that a ner that's doilik on Shabbos you're not allowed to move? That is not because of muksa, Rashi explains. Rashi explains there's a new concern. There's a gzeira shema yechaba. The concern that if I move this lamp while it's burning, it may get extinguished. The Ritva says that the reason Rav Shimon holds you can't move it is because it's a bosses l'davar osur. It's a bosses to the light, which is a davar osur. The Pnei Yeshua, however, says that what Rashi means to say is that Rashi also seems to say that it's a bosses l'davar osur. Because gzeir shem yechaba, the way I understand what the Pnei Yeshua is trying to say, number one is a gzeira that we can't make up ourselves. And even if there is a gzeira that we'll find in Shas or gzeira shem yechaba, a gzeira shem yechaba can't make it into muksa. The subject of our Mishnah is muksa. And therefore, says the Pnei Yeshua, that even Rashi really agrees with Ritva, that once there's a gzeira shem yechaba, that makes the light into muksa, and the lamp is a bosses l'davar asur. So Tosfos asks a question. Why don't we say that the oil is huksa l'mitzvasai? Because the oil was designated to be used for the lamp, for Shabbos, to give light, the mitzvah that we discussed earlier in our Masechta, the mitzvah adlakas neiros. Tosfos says a chiddush. The only time we say huksa l'mitzvasai is when, by using the object which is a dvar mitzvah, you degrade it. If I take the noy sukkah and I use them for my own personal purpose, it's a degradation of the noy sukkah. And that's why it's considered huksa l'mitzvasai. Using the oil, moving the oil, is not a degradation of the use of the oil to give light in my home on Shabbos. And that's why I can't call it huksa l'mitzvasai. So, the Pashto Pshat in our Mishnah, in understanding the opinion of Rav Shimon, is Rav Shimon holds, does not agree to the concept of Muksa Machmas Iser. He doesn't agree to the concept of Muksa Machmas Mias. He only is concerned about, according to Rashi, the Pashto Pshat, of Shema Yechaba. Rav Akiva Eiger has a different way of understanding Rav Shimon. Rav Akiva Eiger says that Rav Shimon, on a conceptual level, agrees to the concept of muksa machmas mias. He says The fact, however, that this person wants to carry this lamp shows that it's not meis to him. Because were it meis to him, how would he ever move it? And therefore, he explains the machloikis of Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Shimon this way. He says that they both agree to the concept of muksum machum smiyas. But we also spoke about a concept in our previous year. Amiga des gatsoyle ben shmoshes is gatsoyle kula yoyma. That Rabbi Yehuda established that if something is muksa ben shmoshes, it remains muksa for an entire Shabbos. So now we can understand. Rabbi Yehuda says once this was designated as muksa machosmius ben shmoshes Friday afternoon, that's the way it's going to remain for the duration of Shabbos. Rav Shimon, who doesn't subscribe to the concept of Migadis Gatsoyla Ben Hashmashas as Gatsoyla Kula Yoyma, says that, yes, it was Muksa Machasmiyas Friday afternoon. But by me deciding that I want to use it on Shabbos, I'm showing that it's not Muksa to me anymore, and therefore, and I don't have the concept of Migadis Gatsoy, so that's why we could be lenient. Begins the Gemara Tanar Abonin, Metatlin Der Chodesh, Avala Yoshin. A candle that wasn't lit, and it's new, even if it's made out of cheres, Rabbi Yehuda agrees you're allowed to move. There's nothing muks about it. Avalo yoshin, if it's a yoshin, it's muksa machas miyas. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Ramei Oimer, kol aneris matatlin. One can move any type of lamp. Ramei obviously doesn't subscribe to the concept of muksa machas miyas. Chutz, me'aner shadlikah b'Shabbos. If it was lit for the Shabbos, once it was lit for the Shabbos, it becomes muksa machmas iser, and it can't be moved even if after it goes out. Rav Shimon Oimer, chutz min aner hadoylik b'Shabbos. You can't move the lamp while it's burning on Shabbos. Kofso, but once it gets extinguished, because as Rashi explained, the entire reason you're not allowed to move it is because we're concerned Shem Yechaba, but once it gets extinguished, though I don't have that concern. However, continues the Gemara, Avil Kais, a cup, Kara, bowl, a Shashis is even a larger type of bowl, glass jar, bowl, Lo Yezizim M'Kaimai. You're not allowed to move them. And the Mefarshim teach us a very important halacha. Rav Shimon, as we're going to learn soon, agrees that these different types of materials are muksa. And therefore, since they're muksa, the halacha is yunala, Rav Shimon agrees that they're muksa. But the Gemara uses the wording of lo yezizem mekaimam. Why does the Gemara use the wording of lo yezizem mekaimai? Because the Gemara wants to teach us that the issa muksa is to move something. This issa muksa is not to touch something. A very important concept. Touching muksa is mutter. Moving, lo yezizim, moving muksa is asur. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon Oimer, mistapik, me'aner kava. If you have a candle that's getting extinguished, the fire is going out, and as it's going out, the halacha is you're allowed to already use that oil. And similarly, he says, u'min hashemen metaftif, you're allowed to use the oil that drips out of a candle that's lit on Shabbos. Vafilu b'shosh aner adolik. Even as the candle is on, the halacha is according to Rabbi Elazar that you're allowed to use that oil. Why? Because Rashi explains, since this candle is already going out, taking from it is not considered a melacha mechaba. The only time there's a melacha mechaba is when it's burning strongly. But if it's not burning, it's going out, then there's no issue of mechaba. Amar Baya, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Sava Kavua, he agrees with his father, Bechada, in one halacha, or Palagla Bechada, and he disagrees with him in another area. And as I saw the Mefarshim say, why is the Gemara expressed this in this type of wording? Because the Gemara wants to teach us that even though a son, the halach is, as part of the mitzvah of kibud av va'em, is not allowed to contradict his father, that's only when it's in Mila de Alma, in regular situations. But here we're speaking about halacha. When we speak about halacha, a son could contradict his father. He agrees with his father that lesley muksa. He too doesn't agree to the concept of muksa. But they disagree. The father held, Rav Shimon holds, cover in only when the candle gets extinguished. That's when the halacha is that you could use the lamp. Loy cover, but as long as it's not extinguished, loy. Even Rav Shimon agrees that you can't move the lamp. Iyu sover versus Rav Elazar holds, afikav the loy cover, even though it's not extinguished, it's just, as we explained, getting extinguished, it's mutter. So, the Tosfos Rosh asks, Rav Elazar really is disagreeing with Rav Shimon in two areas. One is that you could move the candle as it's getting extinguished. And the other halacha is that Rav Shimon doesn't allow you to use the oil that drips out of the candle. And he does. So the Tzlach answers that according to Rashi, Rav Shimon would allow you to use the oil that drips out of the candle. The only machlokes between Rav Elazar and his father Rav Shimon is moving the lamp while the candle is still on. Aval, we learned in the Braisa, Kois Karav Ashoshes, these different types of larger receptacles of oil, the halacha is Lo Yezizim Mekoinam. Then you may not move. And it seems that that's even the opinion of Rav Shimon. And ask the Gemara, Maishno Hani, why by these types of lamps does Rav Shimon agree that you're not allowed to move them? And by a regular lamp, he holds that you are. Answers the Gemara, Amr Ula, it's a great question. And therefore Ula says, because of that question, Sefer Osan Rabbi Yehuda. This sack that you're not allowed to move these types of receptacles is only following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rav Shimon, just like he holds by every lamp that you're allowed to move it after it goes out, will hold by these as well. Maskula Mazutra, ask Mazutra to Ula, how could you interpret the Braisa that way? Ihochi, if that's what the Braisa says, my, what is the wording aval? Aval means however. Even though this is mutter, this is osur. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, who you're saying is the Bandama that's speaking about these type of lamps, everything is osur. Therefore, says Elama Mazutra Loilam, this psak is going according to Rav Shimon. So why does Rav Shimon differentiate between the regular lamp and these lamps? Says the Gemara, V'chi kashari Rav Shimon, when did Rav Shimon allow the moving of the ner, but ner zuta, by a small candle, the dat alavei, a small lamp he knows is going to go out during the course of Shabbos, and therefore he has in mind that when the lamp goes out, I'll be able to move it. Aval hani, the kois karav ashoshes, the nefishi, which are larger, he doesn't assume that they're going to go out, and therefore he's maxedat from them. So as the Ritva explains this Gemara, even though as we said early in the shir, Rav Shimon does not subscribe to the concept of migdas katzoy leben shmoshes katzoy lekol yomer. When doesn't he say that? He says, on something which I know that during Shabbos will become available and usable to me, so there I don't say, but something which I don't assume will become usable to me during the course of Shabbos, there even Rav Shimon will agree to the concept of migdas katzoy lekol yoyma. Ask the Gemara, Vatanya, Maisa Shemin Shebener, the leftover oil in the Ner, the Shebekara, Osir, may not be used. That's the Tanakama, Rav Shimon Matir. So we see there Rav Shimon does allow you to use the oil in the Kara. And we're saying now that Rav Shimon will agree by a Kara that it's Muksa. Answers the Gemara, Hosam Bekara Dumyu the Ner. There are different size bowls. So if it's a small bowl where you expect that the candle will go out during the course of Shabbos, there, Rav Shimon says, just like a regular lamp, it doesn't become muksa. Hocho, but the Brice is talking about a karadum yudakais, where it's a large bowl, where Rav Shimon doesn't expect that will go out on Shabbos, and since he doesn't expect it to go out on Shabbos, Rav Shimon will agree that it's not that it's muksa because he has no expectation to use it for Shabbos, and that's why I saw that the Rishonim explained Rav Shimon will agree that a Hanukkah candle, the leftover oil, you can't use. Why? You expect it to go out. It's not such a large bowl. The answer is, since it was huksa l'mitzvosoi, so you're not thinking about using that oil for your own private purposes. And since you're not thinking of using it for your own private purposes, then even Rav Shimon will agree that it's muksa, even if it's something that you expect to go out on the course of Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. Amram Zera. Pemite. Pemite is a metal candlestick should lit by Shabbos, that you lit candles in this candlestick on Shabbos. L'divrei HaMatar, according to a mayor that says that you're allowed to use a candlestick that is muksa machlus mias, that you didn't light this Shabbos, osur. This candlestick, you will not be allowed to move. Why? That since you used it at the beginning of Shabbos, it becomes muksa machlus isser, and once it becomes muksa machlus isser, you can't move it the entire Shabbos. Udivrei Oyser versus Reb Yehuda, who said by a ner cheres, that was once used, it becomes muksa machmas mias. Mutter, you'll be allowed to move this candlestick. Because he's suggesting that Rabbi Yehuda is only machmer by a ner cheres, because there we have the concern of muksa machmas mias. But a ner matris, that isn't mias, there he won't have this issue. Ask the Gemara, is that true? Lememra, are you trying to suggest that Rabbi Yehuda muksa machmas mias islay subscribes to the concept of the muksa machmas mias? However, muksa machmas isleslay, he doesn't hold a muksa machmas iser, which the example is a candle that was lit during Ben Hishmashas. Ask the Gemara, for Tanya, we learned the Braisa where it says explicitly, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kol aneris shel matris. So since it's matris, there is no concern of muksa machmas mias, metatlin. So therefore you're allowed to move such a candlestick on Shabbos. Chutz, men aneris shel likba b'Shabbos. But if you lit it for this Shabbos, it's osur because it's muksa machmas nesur. Says the Gemara, li'itma hochi'itmer. If we want to learn this statement, this is the way to learn the statement. Om Rav Zera, pamit shedlika la b'Shabbos. If you lit this candlestick for this Shabbos, both Rabbi Yehuda, l'divrei Akal, both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir will agree that's osur, because it's muksa machmas iser. Loy lika lof, but if you didn't light this candlestick this Shabbos, everybody will agree that you're allowed to move it, because since it's made out of metal, it's not muksa machmas mias. Since it wasn't lit from before Shabbos, the halach is that you can move it. Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, says the Gemara further. Mitash yichta lamos, if you have a bed that was designated to put money on it, osla tatlai, you may not move it on Shabbos. Since it was made, again, this is obviously according to Rabbi Yehuda, and since it was designated for a purpose which is not mutter, is designated for using for money, it becomes a kli shemalachta l'isser, and a kli shemalachta l'isser may only be moved l'tzar kufa imakoymei. Ask the Gemara, Meisvei Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, metatlan ner chadish avalayoshan. So if we think about a candlestick, the candlestick is certainly designated. Yet our Mishnah taught us that unless it was actually used, it's not problematic. So why here designation alone doesn't make it into an issue? And says the Gemara, to make the question even stronger. Well, man ned l'hochi avida. A candlestick was made to be used as a candlestick. The halacha is, loy likaba, if you didn't use it, the halacha is shaylat atula, you can move it. Mita, a bed is not really made to hold money. The lav l'hochi avida, certainly the halacha ought to be loy kolshkein, that the halacha should be that just because you designated it for money, it shouldn't become muksa. And therefore, because of this, says the Gemara li'itma hachitma. Amar Rav Yudah Rav, mita shicht l'mas, if you have a bed that was designated for money, heniach l'mas, if it was actually used for money, then the halacha will be osl tatla, because then it becomes a kli shemlachta lisser. But if it wasn't designated for money, loya nichalamos, if it was designated but not actually used, then the halacha will be mutala tatla, that you'll be allowed to move it. Furthermore, says the Gemara, lo yichtala lamos, if it wasn't designated for money, yesh lamos, but there's money on it, the halacha is osl tatla. Why? Because it becomes a basis l'davar asur. And something which is a basis l'davar asur, you may not move, on, has the din of muksa. Of course, if it will be, let's speak about a wallet, and wallet has money in it, but if your wallet has in it money and other objects which are not muksa, so it becomes a basis l'issa l'heter, and something which is a basis l'issa or l'heter, we're much more lenient. So again, lo yichta lamas, it wasn't designated for money. Yesh lamas, but there's money in it. The halach is osl tatla. Ein lamas, but if there's no money on it, mutl tatla. Vu, when is that? Shalai l'bein ha-shmashas. That as we keep on speaking, the concept of migadas katsoy l'bein ha-shmashas is katsoy l'kula yoyma. So if there was money on it, bein ha-shmashas, and there was nothing else on it, so it became a bosses l'davar osur. Once it became a bosses l'davar osur, it remains osur for the duration of Shabbos. But let's say there was no money on it before Shabbos. Money was put on it during Shabbos. So the halach is that while the money is on it, so it's muksa, but if that money would be removed during the course of Shabbos, since it wasn't muksa during Bein HaShemashos, and we always say that the defining moment for muksa is Bein HaShemashos, so if something wasn't muksa before Shabbos, even if it became muksa on Shabbos, because money was put on it on Shabbos, if that money will be removed, it will be no longer muksa. Versus if there was money on the bed by Bein HaShemashos, so that made it muksa for the entire Shabbos. And therefore, even if the money were to be removed somehow during the course of Shabbos, this bed has already been designated as muksa and will remain muksa for Shabbos no matter what. We also have to say that the money we're speaking about was put there deliberately, because the halacha is that if it was only shochach, if the money was put there accidentally, it could be that not only during Shabbos it doesn't become muksa, but even if the money was put there accidentally Friday afternoon and you just didn't realize, that may not make it into a basis l'davar asur. A basis l'davar asur may be only in a situation where you did it deliberately. Says the Ramah that if you designated something for a muksa purpose, and you also used it once for that purpose, then it becomes muksa forever, unless you do something to take off that status. And as Rabbi Akiva Eiger explains, something that was made with a maisa could only be broken with a maisa. So if I actually designated something to be muksa, I didn't just designate it, I actually used it. So the using it for a muksa purpose made it into muksa. So the halacha is throughout Shas, Rabbi Akiva Eiger, loy osa dibur umavatal maisa. Words alone cannot be mevatel maisa. And since words alone cannot be mevatel maisa, just saying that I don't want it to be, the example that we're using, our bed, just saying that I don't want the bed to be used for muksa anymore would be insufficient. As we go into the next piece of Gemara, we need to say a word of introduction. The Mishnah, the Masechta Kelim, discusses Perek Yudches, Mishnah Beis, discusses different types of large carriages. The halacha is, as the Mishnah teaches us in Masechta Kelim, Perek tells Vav, Mishnah Aleph, that if you have a very large carriage, a very large box, so if they could hold 40 saw of liquid, which was, as we learned, 60 saw of salad. So since it's so large, they're not mekabel tuma. But if they hold less, they're mekabel tuma. This is a Gemara that we learned earlier on Daf Lamed Heyom and Aleph, where the Torah says, Mikol kli eitz, oy beged, oy or asak. So the Torah compares kli eitz to kli sak. And the Torah is teaching us that the kli eitz is mekabel tuma only if it's similar to a sack. That a sack is moved only when it's empty. A sack is moved when it's empty and full. So too, a kli eitz that can be moved when it's empty and full is mekabel tuma. But once it's so large that it holds such a large amount, it cannot be moved when it's full, and therefore it's not mekabel tuma. The Mishnah there continues to teach us, how do we know, how do we measure this box, this carriage, if it holds that amount? So Beis Shammai says that we only measure the inside. We have to see the amount that it could hold. Beis Hillel disagree, and they say that we also have to measure the outside walls of this object. The Mishnah there continues to discuss, what about if the box is a wagon? It has wheels. And the question is the wheel, how do we look at the wheel? There are a number of nafkaminas. One is, what will be the halacha if the box became tamei? Would the wheel become tamei? Or vice versa? If they're considered one, then if one becomes tamei, then the other becomes tamei. If they're not considered one, then the halacha would not be the same. Another question is that anything that goes over a mace, is an oil hamace, is tamei. Now we said that if it's a very large box, it's not mekabel tuma. And therefore the halacha is that if this box, which is so large, the measurements I gave earlier, went into Beis HaKvaris, even if it passed over Kvarim, it wouldn't become Tamei, because it's so large. And as the Mefarshim explain, as the Rishonim already explained, when it's so large, it's not considered a Keli, it's considered a separate oil. And since it's considered a separate oil, the halacha is that oil doesn't get tamei from oil hamais. And now, what's relevant to our shear, what will be the halacha if there's money on the wheel? So that wheel becomes muksa. It's a basis l'davar aser. Does that affect the box as well? Amma ula. Masr of Elazar. It says in the Mishnah, in Masechta Kelim, Perek Yudches Mishnah Beis, Muchni Shalom, the wheel of this box, Bezman Shinishmetis, when it's easily disconnected
from the wagon, ein chibrula. It's not considered connected to the wagon. And therefore, just because tumah touches one of them, the other one doesn't automatically become tumah. And as the Mefarshim also point out, normally we say that if something touches something which is tumah, it becomes tumah. But that halacha doesn't apply by kalim. And just because one is tumah, doesn't mean that the other one, even though it's touching it, will become tumah. Ve'einim dedesima. As we spoke a few moments ago, we need to measure the size of the box. Because depending on the size of the box, we will know if it's mekabel tumah or it's not mekabel tumah. So the halacha is, if it's not connected, if it's something that's easily removed, we don't measure the wheel together with the box to know if it has the amount that's mekabel tumah or not. Ein mitzalsim ba'oil ha'meis. That if you have a very large box, which we just explained, that if it's such a large box, it's not considered a keli anymore. It's considered an oil. And since it's considered an oil, it's choitz b'fnei ha'tumah. And therefore, if it comes in contact with a mess, or kever of a mess, it doesn't become tameh. But that won't affect the wheel. The wheel, since it's not considered connected to the wagon, will still be mekabel tumah. The vein goyren, I say, we may not move this wheel on Shabbos, bezman sheyesh lamos, if there's money on that wheel. Because obviously, we're speaking about a wheel that's not just a round wheel, because if it's just a round wheel, there's no way to put money. It's talking about there's a place where you could move, where you could put money. And since this wheel is considered a keli b'fnei atzmai, so that makes it a basis l'davar asur, and you can't move it. But if the wheel is considered not easily removed from the wagon, so since the wheel is not easily removed from the wagon, so then the wheel is just secondary to the wagon, and if the wheel is secondary to the wagon, then it can't make the wagon a basis l'davar asur just because it has money on it. But what do we see from here? Ask the Gemara. Ha, ein alah mos, if there is no money on it currently, sharia, you would be allowed to move it. Af gav da hava alah ben hashmashes. So that's difficult when Rav said that you're not allowed to move a bed that had money on a ben hashmashes, even though now it doesn't have money on it. Answers the Gemara, that Mishnah follows the opinion of Shimon, the Leslei Muksa, that doesn't hold to the concept of Migad is Katsoyle Ben Hashmashes, it's Katsoyle Kul Yoima. Rav, however, Rabbi Yehuda's Sfirle. Rav agrees with the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, if it became a Basis L'Davar Asa Friday afternoon, then it remains a Basis for the duration of Shabbos. It remains Muksa for the entire duration of Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Hachanami Mistabra, and it makes sense to say the Rav Krab Yehuda Sfirle, that Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda, Dama Rav, because Rav taught us, Menicha Ner Al Gaba Dekel B'Shabbos, we're allowed to put a lamp on a tree on Shabbos, and we're not concerned that after it's going to go out, you're going to move the lamp, and if you're going to move the lamp, you're going to cause the tree to move. And the Gemara Masech the Beya, the Aflamet Vav Amabeis, teaches us that a tree is muksa, and that's why the Mishnah over there teaches us, Lo Ya'olin Be'ilon, you're not allowed to climb a tree on Shabbos. And the Gemara explains, there's a gzera, because Shema Yitlo Shmini Ilon, as you climb, you may pull something off the tree, which is a halacha of Ktsira. Ve'ema Nichon Ner Gabadekl B'yontif. But on Yontif, Rav holds, you can't put the lamp on it. Iyam b'shlama, and the Gemara makes its point. Iyam b'shlama, the Rav Krabi Huda Sfirlei. The Rav holds like Krabi Huda. Haini the Shani, we could understand what is the difference between Shabbos and Yontif. On Yontif, Rav says you can't put the Ner on the tree, because since on Yontif, you're allowed to move a lamp, because you're even allowed to light a lamp on Yontif. So we're concerned that the lamp, you're going to come to move the lamp, and as you're coming to move the lamp, you're going to come to move the tree, which a tree you're not allowed to move even on Yontif. Whereas on Shabbos, you're not allowed to move the lamp. The lamp, the lamp, once it was muksa at the beginning of Shabbos, remains muksa for the duration of Shabbos. So you're not going to come to move the lamp. And if you're not going to come to move the lamp, you're not going to come to move the tree. Eli Armit, but if you're going to say, Krev Shimon Sfirlei, that he doesn't agree to the concept of Migad Iskatsoy Leben Ashmashas Iskatsoy Lekula Yoyma, and therefore once the lamp goes out, you're allowed to move it. Mali Shabbos, Mali Yontif. Rav, the concern that if you're going to move the lamp, you may move the tree, should be equal on Shabbos and in Yontif. Says the Gemara. So it must be the Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda, who subscribes to Migad Iskatsoy Leben Ashmashas Iskatsoy Lekula Yoyma. Ask the Gemara. For Rav, Rabbi Yehuda Sfirlei, how can we say the Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda? For Boimene the Rav, there was a question posed to Rav. Mal Tatuli Shaks of the Chanukah, may we move the Chanukah candle? Become a Chavre B'Shapsa. The Chavre were the Parsayim, and they did not allow Chanukah candles to be lit. Rashi says that they made two rules. One is that the Yisraelim should not light Chanukah Lecht outside, and that on their holidays, you're not allowed to light candles even indoors. The only place you were allowed to light candles was in their base Avodah Zarah. So the question was, are you allowed to move, if you have your Chanukah candle lit outside, are you allowed to move it inside after it went out into the house? Vamalahu. And Rav said, Shapidami. But if Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda, we've been learning in our entire shir that Rabbi Yehuda holds that a lamp that was used on this Shabbos may never be used again, may never be moved even after it goes out. So how could Rav allow us to take that candle in? Answers the Gemara, Shasat Chak Shani. There was a special situation. It was a Shasat Chak, dangerous because of them. The Ha, Amalei Rav Kahana Rav Asher LeRav, Hachi Hilchasa, V'amalei Kedai Rav Shimon Lismach Lo B'Shasat Chak. It was a Shasat Chak where the Chaverim were going to cause Tzoros to Klal Yisrael. That's why we were allowed to take it in. But under normal circumstances, Rav will hold like Rabbi Yehuda. Before we end our shiur today, we spoke about a Bosos L'davar Osir, and one of the Gemara's examples, the Gemara that we just learned about how we understand Bosos L'davar Osir was speaking about the wheel. And Tosfos explained that a removable wheel is considered separate from the baggage, from the wagon. And if the wheel has money on it, it becomes a bosos l'davar osur. On the other hand, if the wheel is permanently attached, so it's considered part of the rest of the carriage, it's not viewed as a separate entity. And therefore, since the main body of the carriage doesn't have money on it, it's not considered a bosos l'davar osur. So the Beis Yosef applies this example to money in a pocket. He says a pocket with money may not be moved because it's a bosos. But he says the rest of the garment is not muksa. And therefore, if the pocket is not removable, it's like the not removable wheel. And therefore, even if there's money in the pocket, you could still move the garment. Still, says the Mishnah Berurah, that if there is money in a pocket, one should make the effort to tilt the muksa money out of the pocket before moving the garment. But says the Beis Yosef, this halacha only applies to like pants pockets. since the pockets are considered secondary part of the garment, so they don't, and if there's money in the pocket, that can't make that the entire pair of pants muksa. But what happens if you have a pocket like you have on a shirt? So muksa that's in the shirt pocket is actually lying on the shirt itself. And therefore, the entire shirt is considered a basis l'davar muksur to the money. And therefore, the halacha is you would not be allowed to move that shirt because it's a basis l'davar muksur. However, there's one more very important point. As we said, that this is only if the davar muksur was put there deliberately. If the money was not put there deliberately, he forgot the money there, so then it, b'chlal, would not become a bosses l'davar asr.